Red Sox musical Johnny Baseball is now on the Nico stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival. Johnny Baseball brings to life The Curse of the Bambino through the stories of three orphan souls, hard luck 1919 Red Sox right-hander Johnny O'Brien, his idol Babe Ruth, and Daisy Wyatt, a dazzling African-American blues singer. Their intertwining fates reveal the source of the curse and the secret to its triumphant end in 2004, while also examining social and racial undertones that have impacted the team throughout its history. Willie Reale wrote the lyrics and conceived the story of Johnny Baseball along with playwright Richard Dresser. It's a great pleasure to welcome them both to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Thanks for having us, Joe.
Give us a sense, Richard, of how you came to this. This has been in the works for 3 years or so.
Well, it's actually been longer than that. We first had the idea in 2003 when the Red Sox tragically lost to the Yankees, and it seemed as if the team actually was cursed. And got together with Willie and his brother Rob, who wrote the music, and we thought it was a great idea for a musical, a team that is cursed.
And then the curse gets broken, so you say, okay, this is even better then.
No, our first reaction was, we're not that smart. Our first reaction was, we can't write this musical because there's no curse. But then we realized the Red Sox wrote the ending. And it's a glorious ending if you happen to be from New England. But I think it's a glorious ending anyway, because you don't really need to know anything about baseball or the Red Sox to connect with this musical.
So how closely do the three of you, you, your brother, and Richard, work throughout this process?
Well, Richard and I spend a lot of time in a room together. Most of the story was written in a sauna. We were wearing towels. And, you know, when you get sweaty, you tend to come up with ideas as a sort of delirium thing. Rick and I spent a lot of time in the room together, and we cook. You know, we cook up the story. We spend a lot of time smoothing the script and the songs together, and we feel that, you know, that's one of our strong suits, that we really there's seamless transition from dialogue to music. This really feels like a play. It doesn't feel like a razzle dazzle musical, because there's a sort of a serious story that's being told here, with some laughs that are, you know, that help us get through it. And then Rob swans in a little later on and writes melodies beautifully and quickly.
When, as the three of us talk, it is about 15 minutes before only the second production of this will go before an audience when this airs. It will have three. So where we are right now, what is your level of this being a work in progress?
Let's just say we had our first preview last night. We had a 2-hour rehearsal this morning, and we made more changes this morning. We compulsively change, and I think it's one of the reasons that the work has gotten stronger and stronger. And we have an incredibly game and gifted cast. And you can't make the kind of changes we've made unless the cast really shows up to play. And they've loved it. It's exciting for actors to be a part of a process of truly creating a new work. So we're still working on it.
Yeah, the wisdom is that you don't finish a musical, you just open it.
Right, and it keeps living and breathing and moving on and figuring it out, right?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, in the next iteration of this, we'll have a little list of things that we're going to want to look at, and actors and choreographers and directors bring good opinion to the process, and we can sometimes adjust per their suggestion or their thoughts.
What did you learn from that first production on Wednesday night before an audience, when you've been working, and not that this has not been before an audience before, it has, but after the work that you've done on it most recently, to have that audience come in, what does that add to the equation?
Well, it tells you where it might drag a little bit, where you're on very firm ground. We came out of the show last night feeling very good, and also feeling that there were a couple of places where we could tighten it up. And that's what we spent the rehearsal time today doing, is just tightening up places where the audience told us either they were a little bit ahead of it or there were things that we didn't really need. It's a very speeded up process here. We have two previews and then we open. So we have to accomplish a lot in a very short time.
And when you when you realize, I guess at what point do you realize that you have it where you want it, that it is something that you are proud of and speaks to the work that you had originally imagined?
I think we are certainly at the point where we're really, really proud of this show. And I think that there's always more to be done, but we're very proud of the work that we're putting out. And when we do the show again, of course, there'll be more changes, as Willie said. But this is it. We stand behind this completely.
When you think of this collaborative process, what is it like working with your brother?
Oh, well, Rob and I have a real shorthand. So when he writes something that I disagree with, or I write something that he disagrees with, we don't have to tiptoe around each other. It's really simple for me to say to him, Rob, you know, not your best work. Let's go. Or he can say to me, Will, I just don't feel like this is laying in right. I can't logistically make this melody work structurally. So you have to change your lyric, please. And there's never a harsh word spoken. We just keep our heads down and keep the work going.
And that is, I would think, a rather comfortable relationship, as opposed to that you don't have to tiptoe around.
Absolutely. It's just, there's precious time to get a musical on, especially once you get in rehearsal and you need to change things quickly. And, we just want to make the show as good as it can be. And we understand to let our egos out of the way and make the work good.
At what point, Richard, were you interested in or conscious that this would not only be about the Red Sox, not only be about baseball, but would talk about social issues, would talk about racial issues?
Well, growing up in New England, there was this very comfortable myth of Babe Ruth selling the Red Sox selling Babe Ruth to the Yankees, and that was the source of the curse. But if you dig just a little bit, you realize they were the last team in the major leagues to sign a black ball player 12 years after Jackie Robinson, and they missed out on extraordinary talent right through the 50s. And so it seemed to us that that was a really rich way to go. So right from the start, we weren't all that interested in writing a baseball musical. We wanted to write about something deeper and something that had greater import. And so it's been very important to us that this musical be very, very accessible for people who don't care about baseball. And we've done iterations of this in the middle of the country in a workshop on the West Coast, just to see how other audiences respond to it.
Do the ears of the team of the Red Sox perk up when they hear you're working on something like this?
Absolutely. I talked to a particularly troubled group of people called the Blowhards, who are aptly named. They are Red Sox fans who live in New York, and I spoke at a luncheon there, and the idea that there was a musical out there that was really dealing with the Red Sox was very intriguing to them.
And how about the team itself?
The team owners came to see it when it was in Boston. We haven't had any kind of formal working situation or anything from the Red Sox, but the big thing for us when we did it in Boston was that the really hardcore Red Sox fans did turn out for the musical. So we knew we had to get everything right in terms of the green of Fenway had to be perfect, or they would have run us out of town.
We had audience members showing up in full uniform, including spikes. Actually, that guy, he stayed for a talk back, and he said, he raised his hand, the first one to raise his hand to the panel, and he said, I just want to thank you guys for finally telling the truth about my team. And it was then that we knew we were onto something.
And then the idea for this beyond, you would do, when this closes here, then what?
We don't have anything specific, but we think that this musical is going to have a real life in the theater. We can't say where it's going to be or how it's going to be done, but we've seen how people respond to it. So, we have high hopes for it.
Well, Johnny Baseball by Richard Dresser, with lyrics by Willie Rialli, runs in the NECO stage of the Williamstown Theater Festival through August 3rd. You can find out more information by going to wtfestival.org. Willie and Richard, thank you very much for being with us. Best of luck to you both.
Thanks very much. Yeah, great to be here.
It was fun to do.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.